Where do you want it to sit? One, two, three.
Before we even have the first time. assignment sheets from Leanne that she has done?
I brought my gavel.
Chris Wise and Ben.
Okay, I'm Ron Bloom.
There are three people who signed up on the hand variance, and if you are here for that, that's fine. But if you are here for the Island Railroad Pictures, you need to come back out and sign in on the correct sheet. And that would be John Richters, Keith Richter, and Roger Bethley. If you are here for Island Railroad Pictures, you need to come back out and sign in on the other sheet.
Okay. Oh. So they're going to hold them and come back?
Yep.
And then, Dave Nelson said that his wife, he wanted to keep his wife.
Okay.
Did he talk to you?
Yeah, but he did talk to me about that.
Oh.
He wanted to speak toward the very end.
Right, and I told him he had to come talk to you.
Well, I told him he was going to call me.
Well, that's what I have so far on R&D.
All right. I know. Okay,
that's we'll call this meeting to order. First thing on the agenda will be roll call. Chris Weisenbeck here. Dale Kopp
here.
Joel Wontok, myself. All present. Next.
Second item on the agenda will be the nomination for a chairman pro tem. As much as the chairman of the Board of Adjustment is not here today, so at this time I'd ask for nominations for chairman pro tem.
I'll nominate Joel Wontok for interim.
Joel Wontok is nominated. Any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations?
Second.
Hearing none, all in favor of appointing Joe Wontok as the interim chairman pro tem of the Board of Adjustment for the day, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried. Turn it back over to the chair.
Well, I guess I lost on that one. Anyhow, we got some rules set up for today. To speak, you have to be signed in. And when we get to the application, we'll call your name and you come up here and you can speak. We've got listed 3 minutes on the sheet, but we're going to only make it 2 minutes and try and keep your speech more. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. The applicant, you have to come up to the microphone and speak, and it'll be only for 2 minutes. And Del will call the names.
I think Chad's going to call the names.
Okay, Chad will call the names.
What else do we need here? Oh, yes, parliamentarian.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I've got to appoint myself a parliamentarian, and I'll do Del. Appoint Del to do that. You accept that, Del?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And the next order of business would be... Okay, the applicant will be Chad will read the applicant for Hannon.
Put the mic right to your mouth.
Okay.
Mike Hannon, S2447, Stephen Allen Road, Culver City, Wisconsin. Application for a variance to ordinary high watermark of a navigable stream to 35 feet for a concrete retaining wall. According to Section 752.18.01 of the Buffalo County Shoreland Ordinance. Property located in the southeast quarter of the southeast quarter, Section 1, Township 20 North, Range 11 West, Town of Trust, here in Buffalo County.
Is Mike here to come and describe what he's
with?
Okay. You got the floor, Mike.
It's basically what I'm asking for is I'm going to put a 4-foot retaining wall to keep runoff out of the creek. It's a storage area for cattle. Operations getting bigger, and I need a little more room. And I want to keep the runoff out of the creek. That's basically what it is.
How far from the creek are you?
Right now, I'm about 75 feet from
okay.
the corner. I got two holding pens right now.
Okay.
I want to add one right onto the side of that.
Okay.
All flat area in there. I just want to add one more pen for storage for cattle. So.
Okay. Now, any board members got any other questions for him?
Not at this time. No, I don't.
Anybody? Chad?
I have received an email statement from Mike Wenholz of the DNR. I'll read that in here. The department understands the proposed retaining wall will likely be an improvement to the property. However, the department has the following concerns with the application. First, the department does not believe the unnecessary hardship criterion has been demonstrated for this proposal. As is required for granting a variance, wanting to increase the size of preferred and keeping manure out of the stream, which should already be the case, are not demonstrations of unnecessary hardship. Second, since nothing more than a rough hand-drawn drawing of the site has been presented, the department believes there is too little information presented to even consider granting the variance. A true engineered site plan should be submitted so that all parties can review what is actually being proposed. Given the topography of the area, it is assumed an engineered site plan would be required before beginning construction anyway. This site plan should include to scale depictions of all buildings on the floor of the wall. The stream, this is the ordinary high watermark of the stream. Further, the application does not include any discussion of how the wall, rather than a confined manure storage area, is going to keep the manure out of the stream. Where is manure going to end up if this is not a storage area? Without all this information, it is difficult to determine if it is even appropriate to expand a herd, creating more manure in such a geographically restricting shoreline area. If a retaining wall is now needed to keep manure out of the stream, then reasoning should be provided explaining how additional manure will not be a problem. This information is necessary to know exactly what is being granted, if a variance is granted. Thus, the department recommends the variance be denied at this time and perhaps be reconsidered once sufficient site plans and related information are submitted by the applicant. Even then, all three variance criteria must be demonstrated in order to be granted variance. Please note that these comments are in regards to shoreline zoning only and do not reflect applicable erosion control, waterway permitting, or other departmental regulations. Mike Wenholz of the DNR. I was out there and took a look at your site, Mike. I have been out there in the past as well. I do agree with what Wenholz has said here as far as any plans whatsoever, detailed plans. It would be in the best interest of Board of Adjustment to have a look at such plans. The zoning department is going to recommend at minimum a 60-day tabling on this application. It would be good to go out and take a look at the site.
Okay, any other comments on this? Anybody got anything to say about it? If not, there's no one signed up. Okay. If not, we'll visit that site later on in the day and on that application, we'll end up back at the courthouse and decide. And we'll go on here now to the next application, the Rolling Acres Mine. We'll have Chad read the application.
The continuation hearing for R&J Rolling Acres LLP, S983 State Road 88, Monovia, Wisconsin. Application for conditional use for the extraction of natural resources for extent in the agricultural district. According to Article 4, Section 41.1 of the Buffalo County Zoning Ordinance. Property located in the southern half of the southwest quarter, Section 23, a portion of the northeast quarter of the northeast quarter, Section 27. A portion of the north half of the northwest quarter, Section 26, and a portion of the southeast quarter of the southeast quarter, Section 22. Township 23 North, range 11 West, County of Ellington.
On this application, we would have, we have somebody from the DOT to start with to talk about it?
No. The applicant first.
The applicant, okay. The applicant will state what he got in mind here.
Can go to the microphone over there, please.
Yep. Once again, my name is Tom Weber. I was the presenter at the last meeting. A couple things we've done since then is we've had a survey of the site, so I've got a copy of that up here. I've also given that to each of the board members here. You have the existing conditions. The second sheet of that is the existing conditions overlaid on the aerial. And then the third one, which is probably the most important one at this point in time, is what we propose the site to look like when it's all said and done. After the mine is complete, that shows what the final grade of the proposed at. A couple things that have come up since the last one, but that we've discovered once we've done the final grading, is that we have enough material to last 9.75 years. Now that's partially due to the amount that we figured that we can get out of there, but also we've cut back on the number of trucks from the 150 we asked for at the last meeting to 126. And a couple of things that I guess I'd like to mention is that part of the reason why we went on State Trunk Highway 88 is that the state road is built for commerce and it's intended for commerce, so that's why we wanted to go on the state road to start with. We reviewed all the conditions with the county. We're in agreement with all the conditions. And we thank the county staff for the time they put into this matter. Part of those conditions are a result of the comments and concerns of the residents, and we appreciate those comments. We also looking at the conditions, there's one additional condition we might want to add to it, and that would be that the trucks will be covered. That's something that wasn't in there, but we think it would be in the spirit of being a good neighbor, we would cover the trucks and wouldn't have a problem with that being a condition as well. We've applied for high cap well permit. We've sent in requests for endangered resources. So we started the process on trying to get additional permitting in as well. Glacier Sands intends to be a long-term community member. And the owner of Glacier Sands is here, and I'll probably have him stand up and say a couple things as well. But we want to make sure people realize that, you know, we're building a wash plant here because we plan to be here for the long term. The wash plant will probably employ about 30 people, and I would say the trucking industry will be a minimum of 45 people. And when you start looking at the ancillary spin-off from that, you know, restaurants, service stations, gas stations, and everything else, you know, it's going to be even more jobs than that. So we want to point out the number of jobs that will be here as well. As far as the company goes, I guess, Mike, would you like to talk about it?
Sure. Thank you. I'm Mike Thomas from Glacier Sands, and just wanted to tell you a little bit about us and our history. Wanted to let you know we're not just here today and going to Vaughan. We're our family history. We're actually have been in the sand business for 9 years now. Previous to that, and actually overlapping that, we're 35 years in the turfgrass business. And we actually have farms across the U.S. and 600-plus employees. And we sold that business, and we actually, and we actually have one of the managers that companies were selling some of those farms, and one of the managers called us to buy one of those farms, which we did in Nashville, Tennessee. So we're back in the turfgrass business action. And my family, I grew up on a dairy farm. My family is in the dairy business for 50 years. And,
excuse me, could you get that closer? Because there's people out there that can't hear you. Or if you, that would help out.
Excuse me. This is how you use the mic. Anybody use the mic, get up here and use it, and I guarantee you can hear it in there. So, don't be natural, and it's not going to bite you.
Thanks, Dallas. Thank you.
I'm going to say actually first, when I got up here, and I forgot to do it, but it is a great country that we're able to come out here and support or protest any kind of issue. I mean, it's a blessing to be in a country like this that we can do this. It's great to have such participation today. Appreciate you coming out and doing your citizen duty. But again, we were in the dairy business 50 years, and actually until I went off to college, and for some reason or other it sold out. I'm not sure what they did when I left. And then, other side of my family has actually been in the banking business in West Texas in Lubbock. And we're actually celebrating our 100th year this year. So we're long-term people, so I'm trying to convey. We will, and always trying to do the best management practices in all our operations. And we will do that here. We have, as Tom Hubbard mentioned, Tom's our local engineer. Chip Walthall is here. We're also, I want to introduce Wayne Steinmetz right here. He's also a local resident of here in Chip Walthall. He's also a retired Air Force captain, so we're glad to have a veteran on our team. We will do the best management practices and practice those. In our turfgrass business, our mission statement was to make a positive impact on people and their environment. So that's what we're about. So we like to make a positive impact. We want to be a good neighbor. In our turfgrass business, we donated several football fields and baseball fields. So the local community, and was one of the largest donators to Habitat for Humanity House of turfgrass. So we like to be a good citizen, good neighbor, and we will continue to do that. We do intend to invest over $40 million in the local community and plants and operations here for the next 2 years. So it's a huge economic positive impact for the community, as well as having at least 60 to 100 direct jobs and uncalculable numbers of indirect jobs that will be added as well. So, we're proud to be here in Wisconsin. It's actually a mining state. We have a miner on our flag here. So, we're proud to be here. We want to be here I want to be a great neighbor. And again, I want to be long term. So I just kind of all I had to.
Okay, and then a couple other things that I may mention is on this final grading plan, it shows some information about berms along here. And those will be built as we construct the plant and as we do the mining. The berms down here will be built initially, maybe when we start mining the northern part of it. It won't all be open at once. We don't have the reclamation plan completed yet, but we did want to get at least the final look so that people can take a look at that and have an idea of what it's going to look like when everything's done. Again, we've discussed the conditions with staff. We feel comfortable with the conditions. They aren't ideal, but we do believe that the conditions are good, not only for the county and the neighbors, but as well as for us. It'll help us to be a good neighbor, and we'll be able to mine this in a responsible manner. And I guess as one of the last items I wanted to mention is, as long as it's mined in a manner consistent with the conditions, this should be a good thing for the county economically, as well as it's the right of the owner to be able to mine, and we feel that if it follows the conditions, it should be a good business model, not only for them, but as far as for the Glacier Sands as well. So, any questions from the board?
Yeah, about this wash plant here. What does that consist of? How big of a building is it? And is it going to be wired? Is it going to have a concrete floor?
Yes, it will.
How big of a building?
I've got a picture of one up here that's not enclosed. It's very similar to that with the equipment that's inside it. We're planning on it being enclosed. The picture here is the one that's down in the southern part of the U.S. So it's not enclosed. They don't need to. I mean, it's warm enough down there. They don't have to. Up here, if you want to run it year-round, you have to enclose it. Enclosing it does two things. One is it's going to be warm in there to be able to run it year-round. But it also contains all the sounds. Not that there's a lot of sound in the wash plant, but there's a little bit of sound in there. And so the machines, you won't hear them when you're outside the building. It will have a concrete floor. It'll have a roof and walls on it. So that constitutes a building as far as the Department of Commerce is concerned. So we will have to get a building permit from the Department of Commerce. We'll get the plan approval, and that will be brought in into the county as part of our building permit request.
Which picture are you referring to?
The one on the right hand side. The one on the left hand side is actually a dry plant, which we're not doing. But I just kind of want to give an idea of what the footprint looks like of that plant. And you can see up in the upper right hand corner, there's a house right there, right next to the driveway where the trucks come in and out. Most people still live there.
Let me interact here a moment. If you have a question, you'll have an opportunity for that during the comments to address it to the board, not directly to the applicant. Fair enough? Everybody understand? Thank you.
I guess I might mention one last thing, too. When we talked last time, we talked about going down Highway 88. That is still our plan, is going down Highway 88. And like I say, we backed down 126 trucks, which I haven't seen the written conditions yet, but I think that's what we've got in there. Correct?
Yeah? And what will happen with this plant when the sand is gone? Will the plant get dismantled, taken down, or what will happen?
Our future, the future that Glacier looks for is to be able to open a new mine in the future. So that would mean we'd have to come back before the board, get another conditional use permit, and then at that time we would extend the conditional use permit on this site for just the wash plant, not for mine, because the mine would be closed at that point in time.
You mean you would be hauling sand into this wash plant then?
Our idea is to try to get neighbors so we can do it conveyed with conveyors rather than by trucks. That's our preference. So,
okay.
If we can do it with neighboring properties and bring it by conveyor, is the ideal situation.
Okay. And the berm you're talking about around, what type of berm is this? How high a berm are you going to have? That's a pretty high wash plant. You ain't going to be able to height that all.
You won't height it completely, no. Because it could be up to 90 feet tall. Okay. Obviously, we can't build a berm 90 feet tall.
How big of a berm you plan on?
We'll probably have it 15, 20 feet at most, I would say. But then we'll put some trees on it as well.
Okay. Well, that's all the question I got right now. How about the other board members? Got any?
Yeah, I've got a couple here. As far as the gallons of water, initially you start out at so many gallons as far as the washing. We'll have, like I showed at the last game, we're going to end up having two ponds out there. One will be a stormwater pond to treat the water before it leaves the site. The other will be the recycled water. Recycling water is water that will be pumped from the well. We'll fill the pond initially, like you say, we'll probably need more water to do that initially. But then we'll pump from that pond to feed the wash plant. And we'll recycle as much of that water as we can. And the way you recycle it is, there's dewatering screens, and you probably can point them out on there, the worst things on that bottom level are dewatering screens, but it'll go across that to get most of the water out of it. Before it gets trucked out, it'll be stored temporarily before it can get loaded into a truck, because our intent, and you'll see that in the conditions, is to run the wash plant 24-7. So if we want to run the wash plant 24-7, obviously, we're going to be running that when there's that truck. So we will be stockpiling some material. That material, as it's stockpiled, once it's washed and doesn't have any of the clay and silt and any of that in it, it drains rather rapidly. So it'll go from 10 or 11% moisture down to, you know, 5-6 pretty quickly, and if you leave it long enough, it'll probably even get down to about 4%. All that water, we'll have it on a pad, so all that water we can recapture and put it back in the pond and reuse that water. And that makes it so we don't have to pump as much. So really what you'll lose is that 4% or so, the 4 to 6% that goes out with the sand.
I suppose it varies as far as the gallons you use then. I mean,
it will,
do you have any idea?
Well, it'll vary due to the moisture content of the sand coming out of mine. On a day where it's really dry, and it's been dry for weeks, it's going to take more water to wash the sand than it does if the sand comes into the plant at 8% moisture as opposed to, let's say, 2% moisture. It will require more water. But, you know, when it's at the lower percentage. But otherwise, it doesn't vary a whole lot. I mean, I would anticipate, I can tell you, I've monitored what's going on up in the Chippewa Falls plant right now. I know the water department very well, and they're using water from the city. And so I've done some checking on that just to see what that is. And it's a plant that's similar in size. It's not quite exactly the same size, but that's about 20,000 gallons a day.
So you're thinking maybe 20,000 gallons a day, or 18, 15, or
somewhere in there.
25?
Yeah, somewhere in there. Until we get final design of the plant done, I won't be able to say exact, but I mean, in that range, yes.
As far as the design of the plant, what do you have left to, as far as the design?
Well, the way a wash plant works, we take examples. We've done borings out there now, and taken the samples. I am right there.
Did you accidentally shut it off?
No, it's on.
Everything's on.
Everything's off. No.
I'll just speak louder. I'm to be that quiet. Hopefully everybody can hear me out there. But one of the things that you do in the design of a wash plant is you have to take samples of the sand. And what you do when you look at those samples is it determines how that wash plant works. It depends on what the sizes are. It depends on what kind of... Can you take time out?
It kicks out and just needs to be turned back on. I'll try it.
Does that work?
Okay. One of the things that you do is you look at that respective analysis, you look at the wash sand, and it determines what has to be done in that wash plant to clean it up. Because basically what you want to do is you want to get all those fines out, and then you want to, what this wash plant will do is it'll make a hydraulic cut, is what we call it. And if you look on this picture, in the second level up, you can see those cones, and those cones are where that cut is made. And what they do is they take the fines out. The heavy material will settle down to the bottom of that cone, and the fines go out over the top. So what they do is they go to a lab, and they run that same sand through, I don't know what you call it, model, but they run them through those same hydrocyclers, and they figure out how much water and what size hydrocyclers and all that. So that's the process that we're going through right now. They're doing that testing even as we speak right now. So.
As far as the mine site itself, what's your plans as far as how many acres would you open up at a time?
If you look at the existing commission plan, and I'll use the one here that's got the overlay on it, but you can, the board can see this with me standing here, but I'll kind of turn it a little bit. There's two fingers or hills that stick out into this property. One is down here, the south one, and then the north one up here. Our proposal would be we'll clear down here where the plant is going to be. If you remember the one I just had up here, so we're looking at the plant being right here. That's right out from this first hill that comes out here. So we'll cut this down to the grade we need it down here, move that material out of the way, and then there's about, on the tops of each of these hills, there's about 45 feet of overburden. So the first rooms that we'll build will be the ones down by the plant. And we'll take that overburden off up here and use that down here. And we'll have our stormwater pond built. We'll have, you know, our silt vents and all of our best management practices in place as we go. But then we'll advance to the east on that. But what our plan is to make this a 2% grade until you get to where you come off the 50-foot setback at a 3-to-1 slope. And where those two intercept, that's what we're planning on doing. And we'll do that here as well as up here. But we'll start out with the south one and work our way through that before we move to the north one.
And then as far as the runoff water from rain and whatnot, is that going to be diverted to another pond?
What we can divert that's not being affected by the mine itself, we'll divert. But any of it that falls in the mine phase itself, we'll run through the stormwater pond to make sure that's clean, and we'll have that pond actually far enough away from the culverts so that we get some good grass swales to aid in removing total suspended solids. There's the requirement from the DNR, and I'm sure Tom will speak to that, but we've got to get it down to, we've got to remove 80% of the total suspended solids as a minimum.
Chemicals, do you plan on using any?
The only chemicals that will be used is in the recycle pond. We'll use a flocculant, it's a food-grade flocculant, and that'll be to help settle the material out so we can, the one thing when you reuse the water is it has to be clean. If you start using dirty water, the process doesn't work as well. So you need clean water. So what you do is you put a flocculant in, and then that settles the fines out of the water so that when you pull it back in, you've got clean water. And again, it's a food-grade flocculant. It's been known through the industry, and I think with the DNR toxic, and they could probably mention that they've seen it before on other plants as well.
And then, I don't know, is that something that's probably evaporated or disappeared within like 12 or 14 days?
I don't know if it'll be 12 or 14 days, but it does eventually dissipate.
Okay. I guess that's probably all I have right now as far as questions.
Are your ponds going to be lined with anything?
Yes, they're required. Once you look at conditions, you either have to have a clay or a plastic liner for the recycle pond.
I guess I don't have no further questions, not at this time anyhow.
See if anyone else wants to speak on behalf of the applicant. Does anyone else want to?
Joe, yeah, I got a couple words. You were talking about, you said around 30 jobs, like for your wash.
For the wash plant,
it'd be about 30 jobs. Yes. And you mentioned from 60 to 100 jobs. That was within 2 years. You're looking at 2 years.
That includes the trucking. I had mentioned, around 45 drivers.
Yeah, okay.
And it could be more than that. Pardon? Oh, yeah, that's true. Down at the other end.
Other end.
We'll have a dry plant eventually. I mean, we haven't applied for that, but right now we're going towards Winona with this because we don't have a dry plant. We don't have a real load, I would say. Eventually, we're going to want to get a conditional use permit in for, and I understand from talking to Chad, that's two separate conditional use permits, one for the rail load-up, one for the drag plant. But we will eventually come in for that as well.
What happens if you can't haul sand in Lynora?
Well, one of the reasons why we're looking at doing the rail loadout and the drag plant is so we don't have to go to Winona.
Rail loadout, where would that, where are you looking at?
Probably somewhere down near Cochran. Someplace for, along BNSF rail.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's all I have.
Anybody else?
Brian would like to say things for later as well.
Okay.
For those of you that don't know me, my name is Brian Nordoff. I'm an attorney with Spangler, Nordoff, Berger, and Quinhammer, and Eau Claire. I have cited several clients, so I've had extensive experience the last 4 or 5 years doing these projects. A couple of issues that I think were asked by one of the members, I assume a question on water issues. One of the common concerns is there going to be an adverse impact on drawdown, and will it have an adverse impact on neighboring properties, impacting wells and that sort of nature? We have applied to the DNR for a high-capacity well permit. I have gone through this process with the DNR before. It is an extensive process, and they will require us to go through an extensive time to process.
They're weighing in.
Tripped out again. Not back. Push it back. There you go. Okay.
We have to wait a while.
No. Yeah. That happens to attorneys a lot. They try to cut us off as often as possible. That's actually the first laugh I've ever had. the process is lengthy. There is an additional jurisdiction that does oversee that issue, and they will make sure if there's a negative impact or a drawdown, that has to be accounted for. I mean, and the short answer is there's an additional protection that's in place in addition to what the county is looking at. So that process is an extensive process, but we will have to go through that. There were some questions on reclamation. We talked about, what our future may hold, but under the current permit, there was a question about what would happen to the plant at the end of its life under the current permit. Most likely, again, we have not gone through a reclamation component with the county yet, but my guess is that when the county looks at this through an NR-135 permit, they will include how that plant is going to be dealt with. So at the end of the reclamation phase, unless there's a change that's permitted under the plan at some future point, that plan will have to be removed as well under the reclamation. So that does take care of it, and there is a bond in place for that to ensure those types of things occur, much like all the other reclamation components that are required under NR-135 and the county equivalent. The other question got to exactly how we're going to open this up and how we'll proceed through and how much will be open at one time. I'll try to talk faster. This will, we talked about how we intend on doing that. A little bit of that, the county will certainly have more involvement in that through the NR-135 process. As we go through the reclamation will be phased. That phase will have to be put forth in our application for our NR-135 permit. That doesn't come to the Board of Adjustment. It goes through a different process, but it is a county process. So that will be dealt with. They were just talking about other potential operations. Again, those operations are not part of the application that's here today. If we want to do other projects or those types of things, those are going to have to be separate projects. They'll have to come before this board and go through the exact same process. And our purpose of putting it out is to be open and honest about it. We're not trying to play hide the ball. There are components to these types of projects. I'll just try talking really loud. These projects, you've seen these projects before. They are not new to these counties. They do include drying facilities. They do include railroad out facilities. It's in our best interest to get this material on rail as soon as possible and make the least inconvenience to people. So as we develop future projects, we're going to look to those benefits, both for us and for the community as well. The final thing I'd like to say is I understand and I've looked at the conditions with my clients. Frankly, as an attorney, I do a lot of land use development. I can find issues and things that I may want to dispute. I do give these clients a lot of credit because they said, you know, look, we don't want to dispute conditions. We want to work with the county. We want to make this a workable project for them. So they've accepted these conditions without challenge. I mean, they're not our conditions. They're not ideal for us. But we can make them work and we can live with them. The other issue, the only legal issue I guess I would point out is I understand there are a lot of people here today that will talk about the impact on Highway 88. I think the county needs to... I'm almost done, I swear. I think the county needs to proceed very carefully because your jurisdiction as a conditional use authority is to look at the project and its surrounding area and how it impacts that. But this is a state highway. It is a right of commerce. So, again, we want to work with that. But it is a right to be able to use that. And, again, we will work with the county on that. But there has to be some give and take, and we feel like the conditions that are put forth are the proper give and take for us in this instance. I'm done, unless you have any questions.
As far as your reclamation, then you don't really have anything. Have you started?
As far as the phasing? No, not as far as the phasing. But not as far as the phasing, but we're going to start, like you say, on the south hill. Mm-hmm. So that's the south 80. There's two 80-acre parcels, mm-hmm. basically. So we're going to start on the south 80. The north 80, they'll continue to farm that. The south 80 will work on and advance our way to the east, and that'll show what we'll do when we do the reclamation plan, and that'll show the phasing even going through that. We're going to open the whole thing up. But it'll show the phasing that we're going to do on that, and then as we complete that one, we'll start on the North 80.
I guess what I'm concerned about some is the total, or like the acres that you're going to have exposed.
I can't tell you the exact amount, but I mean, it's going to be probably 20 acres at most at any one time, and we will reclaim it as we go.
And then as far as the reclaiming, like what you, now you're going to screen it, right? So that, I assume, the dirt, sand, whatever that you don't need will be going back into the reclamation.
That's correct. None of the overburden, you know, that's one of your conditions, actually. None of the topsoil or overburden leaves the site. And actually, any of the material that we aren't going to use will not leave the site as well.
Yeah, as I say, the overburden, that's where, if you're going to be farming again, you need that. That's
correct. Correct.
I guess that's all I have for now. Thank you.
And I guess with respect to Area 135, its official purpose is to put the land back to an expected use once it's done with the reclamation, and that's the requirement, and those are the conditions that will have to be through the 135 process.
Anybody else want to speak on behalf?
Gary. Gary, with the DOT. With the DOT, okay. You're up, Gary.
You want me up here? Or
yeah.
There? Okay.
Over there, Gary.
My name is Gary Brunner. I'm the chief of the operations section for the Department of Transportation in the Northwest region. Because you've got a long ways to go with your meeting today, I'll try to keep this as brief and concise as possible. I think what people want to hear about Highway 88 is how suitable is that roadway to handle the additional traffic that would be coming onto it from a sand mine operation or any other operation that might come on out there. And just real briefly, I think the comments from the attorney for the sand company are correct in that the Department of Transportation doesn't have the ability to disallow legal loads on the state run highway system. About the limit of the DOT's control when developments are occurring, because we are not a land use entity. We manage the highway system and the transportation of people and goods only. So the only true controls that we have as a department are the nature of the access that is permitted to allow neighbors on the State Trunk Highway system to access the State Trunk Highway system. So in a sense, it becomes a driveway issue for each individual development. But that's not really what the concern is on 88, I don't think. I think the concern is we've got a roadway out there that has historically carried 600, 700, 800 cars per day. It doesn't have the best alignment. It doesn't have the best pavement. And there's a reason for that. It hasn't generated enough, urgency within our department budgets to upgrade that entire roadway to what, for instance, the Highway 35 is. It doesn't have good shoulders. It doesn't have great alignment. But it's perfectly adequate to serve the traffic that it has historically served. We would like to have a better pavement down there. Who would? But that's just a work in progress. It's difficult for us to adequately keep all 3,000 miles of roadway that we're responsible for in top-notch serviceable condition. With regards to 88, like I said, it has historically carried 600 to 800 cars per day. Our standards tell us that from a capacity standpoint, a two-lane roadway should be able to carry up to about 11 or 12,000 cars per day before you have capacity issues. Okay, let that sink in. If we're talking about another 126 trips per day, well, double that, 250 trips per day because of this one operation, that in itself does not really affect Highway 88 all that much from a DOT perspective. And let's say there are multiple landmine operations that might occur on 88 or any other highway, because this is a big issue in western Wisconsin. There are a lot of sand mines and processing plants and loadout facilities being built and becoming operational for us. Even if the traffic on Highway 88 goes from 800 cars a day up to 1,800 cars per day, that is still very low from a capacity standpoint for a two-lane roadway to handle that amount of traffic. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be a significant change. 1,800 cars per day is pretty light. 1,800 vehicles per day with a larger percentage of them being trucks has a little bit different dynamic. That doesn't mean it can't work. It does mean that there are some things that the department needs to pay attention to. And it probably means there's a different manner in which the people that drive it every day will have to pay attention to as they're driving it. Our biggest concern as a department is we want to make sure that it's a safe route for everybody that has a right to use it. And everybody that lives out there and drives it today, every new business that wants to use it, they all have a right to use it. We need to try to make our budgets work to make sure that the roadway functions from a safety and operation standpoint, not from a capacity standpoint, because it has lots of capacity. We need to make sure that it functions well every day. So right now what the DOT is doing is we're looking at probably some potential short-term improvements, and we'll continually be tracking the trends in terms of usage and performance to scope out appropriate long-term improvements when our budgets allow. The types of short-term things that we're looking at right now is we realize that 88 goes up and over a couple of mountains, and there's pretty much zero shoulder in some locations, got lower speed curves. When two trucks pass at those locations, it could be a little bit challenging. People can do it. If everyone follows the rules of the road and drives the speed limit and observes the dynamics of their vehicle that they're operating, it can adequately serve. But that's not human nature. People will be people. We want to do a little bit of a review of 88 and identify those specific areas where there's not as much margin for error for somebody to operate their vehicle. At the end of our review, we would likely be looking at places where we can widen the shoulder a little bit, where we can maybe upgrade the signing, the advanced warning signs for some of the curves, We just want to call attention to those areas for operators so people pay attention in those areas where they need to pay attention. In terms of longer-term upgrades to address higher volumes of traffic, should all of this proceed forward, it is a real challenge for the department. Our budgets remain static. They are not increasing because of the increasing demand from sand mining operations in western Wisconsin. So it becomes a priority thing for us, and it becomes a timing issue for us. The typical roadway project that has any significant movement of dirt or reconstruction or even heavy rehabilitation generally has a 4, 5, 6 year time period from the time that we scope it out to the time we can build it. We have to go through a full environmental analysis. There's just a lot of steps involved in any type of a roadway upgrade. So we have that issue is what kind of makes it a challenge for us to make eventual upgrades to a roadway to handle longer term traffic that we think will be out there, but we don't know will be out there. In terms of, again, the direct controls that the DOT does have would be the nature of access that is permitted for a wash plant or for individual mines or for a dry plant. We do work with those applicants that are seeking those types of facilities, and if they're looking for direct access, we'll ask them to give us some information on how many trips per day they're looking at. We'll look at things like site distance at that location, and we will make requirements that the access points are built appropriately with turn lanes, with deceleration lanes, things of that nature. Generally, those things get worked out pretty well, so the access points themselves operate as safely as they can. So that the same is true for the wash plant, the same is true for the potential dry facility down at in the Cochrane area, perhaps in the 88 and 35 intersection area. We have a long history of success with applicants to make sure that proper access points are built on the State Front Highway system. We've had quite a bit of contact with Buffalo County in the last couple of months as well, because this is all a new issue for Buffalo County, too. We always try to work directly with the land use permitting folks and any town or county highway officials when town or county roadways are involved. In this case, it's almost all confined to the State Trunk Highway system, so we don't have that partnership on this particular corridor, if you will. But we will typically almost always work with town officials and county officials to make sure that any usage of their roadways is kind of wrapped into an overall assessment of how the activity can safely be accommodated on the highway system. And with that, I think I'll open it up to questions from the board, just so we can move on with the rest of your proceedings today.
I don't have no questions at this time, unless the other members got a question there.
When does the DOT plan on starting this review of Highway 88?
We're working internally right now to pull together the resources to do the review. It does take some manpower. It does take some dollars to hire some manpower. We've sketched out a process by which we're going to try to track all the sand mining activity that's going on in our region. So we're zeroing in on something that will work for us regardless of the roadway involved. But we sincerely hope that we can start those reviews of 88 in particular within the next 2 or 3 months.
With a 50% potential increase in traffic, does the DOT plan for deterioration of 88 as a result of the increase of traffic, or...
We know that there will be some issues with the pavement as additional loadings occur. So we try to have a 20-year plan, if you will, probably 8 to 10-year plan, where we're trying to anticipate the deterioration that will occur on every single one of our roadways, not just 88. And we want to have a comprehensive plan drawn up where we can always make sure there's a serviceable pavement on every single one of our 3,000 miles of roadway. So in our equations, as we're doing that process continuously, we are aware that the deterioration rate on 88 will increase because of this activity. And we'll have to address that.
As far as the speed limit signs on these curves, I assume, I know I've driven the road three different times in the last month, but are there areas where maybe the speed should be lower?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's two levels of speed limit. There's the statutory speed limit, and that is the black letters on a white background. That is set by law, 55 miles per hour on two-lane roadways, unless there are sufficient development or other issues that require the posted limit to be lower. On most rural roadways in the state of Wisconsin, 88 being one of them, until you get to Prague or Cream or an area like that, the posted speed limit will always stay 55. When you get to those curves that it would be difficult, if not impossible, to navigate at 55, that's when you see a black letter on yellow background advisory sign. So part of our review would be looking at all of those advisory sign curves to ensure that that is the appropriate speed that should be put on that curve. It's still technically a 55-mile-an-hour roadway, but because you can't really physically travel it faster than 25 or 30, 45, you know, that's the philosophy behind posted and advisory signs. We often have requests to artificially set a statutory limit lower than 55 to allow law enforcement to just simply give everybody a ticket that's traveling faster than that. We work really hard with the law enforcement community to not put them in a position where they're accused of setting up speed traps. So in this particular instance, I think this posted limit for the roadway will probably remain at 55. I can't envision a scenario where it's appropriate to sign it for lower than that. But the advisory signs will be revisited, and we'll make sure that there's adequate signage to warn people of those curves. In some cases, we might be doubling up signs to where you have an advisory speed on the right side and the left side of the roadway. Just as another reminder to truck drivers and the public, what's the safe speed to navigate this upcoming curve?
That's all I have. Thank you.
I have no question for you, Namar. Anybody else to represent the client here? DNR man, Tom? Right there.
My turn?
Your turn.
All right. Pardon me, I'm just coming off a bad cold, so if I'm kind of stuttering to catch my breath here, you'll know why. My name is Tom Willis. I work for the DNR. I'm a statewide DNR contact. I'm stationed out of the Eau Claire office. You guys heard a little bit about some of the DNR regulations here, and I'm just going to give you the broad overview. I know there's a big crowd here, so I'll start right out. For most of these mines, and we've got a lot of them coming in, they're going to require air permit of some sort. There's some very small ones that are exempt from our regulations, but they're like, you know, the backhoe and two guys with a dump truck. Some of the operations we're seeing down in Arcadia are exempt. But these will require either a registration operation permit or a site-specific permit for operation of the mine, and for sure, if and when the processing plant would go down by Cochran, that would be a site-specific permit. We look at all the pollutants that are coming out of there. There'll be an actual piece of paper issued to them, an air permit, which has requirements for monitoring and testing and things they'll have to do to assure that the air quality standards we have are being met. There'll also be the requirement for an air monitor to be sited there, a particulate monitor that will measure particulate matter less than 10 microns in diameter.
Keep down.
Am I off again?
Yeah. There you go.
On again?
Off again. Off.
Also mentioned was the ICAP well permits. Any site with a high-capacity well capability that goes over 70 gallons per minute in aggregate, and that could be one or two or three or four wells, requires a high-capacity well permit from us. We have some very good hydrogeologists that will look at the drawdown levels. By law, we look at nearby trout streams, outstanding and exceptional resource waters, nearby municipal wells. There's a court ruling that just came out called the Lake Beulah court ruling that we believe we have the ability to look beyond what's in our Groundwater Quantity Act. And we are looking at private wells also to make sure that these high caps don't impact the private wells. And most of all of the mining companies that we've approached where we've seen, you know, issues where they may draw down a private well supply, they've been very willing to work with us. The footprints on these are so big that they can relocate the wells so that they don't impact the private wells. We'll issue a general non-metallic Wisconsin Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit for stormwater and process wastewaters, to make sure that it was alluded to, if there is discharges off-site, there's a standard of 40 milligrams per liter of total suspended solids and a pH limit on that water to make sure that you're not impacting off-site. Typically, these mines, we hope, are going to be, after maybe an initial period of operation, be internally drained. That means that the water will go into the mine and there won't be a discharge. They have not come in for an application for that permit yet, so I'm not quite sure what their plan is. We also will do a endangered threatened species review, archaeological review. If there's wetlands on site or wetlands impacted, we'll do the wetlands regulations that we have for any type of development. We also oversee the counties in our 135, which was mentioned, the reclamation program, as well as the floodplain shoreline zoning, which, like the fellow that was here just a bit earlier talking about the concrete retaining wall. We provide oversight and guidance to the counties, but it's the county's responsibility to administer those regulations. So that's in a nutshell is the DNR regulations.
Anybody got a question for him? Board? Yeah.
I suppose as far as the what you were talking about, their plan, you know, you haven't been approached, you said.
I have met with them. They came into our office and we went over the permits that could be required. We didn't. You know, right now, the only thing we have is a request for an endangered threatened species review and the high-capacity well permit, which is still in the queue. We're not working on it yet. It came in recently. So we have no applications, and they'll probably wait till they get done with you guys before they come to us.
I don't know how it's been done in the past, but should it have been done? You know, would you think that, I mean, should they have come to you first before our meeting as far as the plans or not?
Nobody. Most of the people try to get their meeting settled at the local level before they come to us because, you know, once they get to us, the engineering and the permits are quite expensive and time-consuming, and so they want to make sure that, you know, they're taken care of on the local level before they come to us.
Okay, thank you.
At this time, I'll turn it over to Chad here. He wants to read some stuff into the minutes.
I have a few maps on that. Even more than just the numbers. Here is a wetland map. It's got just one area there in the northwest corner that the wetlands indicated species. Dr. Tom Willis told us beforehand, and it does not necessarily mean that it is a wetland. Potential wetland determination and followed by delineation, followed by potential mitigation if it is a wetland. That would be addressed through NR 135. Here is a haul route map with the number of trucks throughout the colony. I also printed out a topography map here, kind of like what Tom had up here. I had then imposed it over the groundwater elevation mapping with the flow. Where the plant is there, it looks to me like there is about 20 to 25 feet elevation difference between the groundwater map and the elevation map. And then last year, I printed out Bumble County high cap wells, well data. There are roughly 85 high cap wells here in Bumble County. Two within Gilmanton Township. Both those are schools. One of the schools was not available. The data was not available. The other one was 50. Bear with me here. Pump capacity was at 50 gallons per minute. The well depth was at 175 feet. I'll pass that down to the board. You can look at it. There's data for every township in here. It just depends on what you want to look at and what data you want to compare there. It ranges anywhere from 900,000 gallons per month up to.
Depends on in the summer there. What is that, Joel, there? I think it's in the millions.
Where are we at? Where are you, Chad?
I
the yellow?
Yeah. You got
the yellow one?
Yep.
Data not available.
Next, I will be over the potential conditions drafted by the zoning office. The ones that I stress these are potential conditions. I just stress that these are potential conditions drafted by the zoning office. The Board of Adjustment doesn't have the final say on these. 36 conditions. Number one, permit and site activities shall be conducted in compliance with all provisions of the Buffalo County Non-Tenant Mining Ordinance, the Wisconsin Administrative Code NR 135. Number two, tracking pads must be paved at a minimum of 200 feet from State Highway 88. Also, install a tire bath or an equivalent method to clean the tires before entering State Highway 88. Number three, access road in the quarry must be secured prior to any product leaving the site. Number four, method of extraction is limited to surface mining only. Five, a 24-hour notice will be given to landowners located within 2,500 feet of the blasting area. Operator will comply with the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services in regards to the proper permitting procedure and ensuring blasting drilling protocol is followed. Number six, no blasting will occur within 1,320 feet from any habitable structure. If blasting occurs between 1,320 and 2,500 feet, foundation inspections will need to be completed prior to any excavation by a qualified third party accessible by the Buffalo County Zoning Department. Number seven, no excavation shall take place within 100 feet from the right-of-way line of State Highway 88. Number eight, no excavation shall take place, nor shall the slope of the natural land surface be altered as such excavation, nor shall the storage of materials take place nearer than 50 feet to any property boundary. This setback shall not apply where adjoining property is used for mineral extraction. Number nine, non-metallic mining operations must at all times remain at least 5 feet above the water table level. Unless an alternative level proposed by the applicant and established by water table elevation monitoring is approved by the regulatory authority. Upon completion of reclamation of the site, it must be established to the satisfaction of the reclamation authority that the finished grade is at least 5 feet above groundwater. No topsoil or subsoil overburden will be allowed to leave the site during the entirety of the site operations. Number 11, in the event that on-site fuel storage is planned, a fuel storage area that complies with Wisconsin Administrative Code COM 10 shall be established at a fueling station located outside the mine excavation area. A fueling pad constructed of concrete or compact-based materials shall be implemented as part of the fueling station. Fueling of highly mobile vehicles such as rubber tire loaders shall occur on the constructed fuel pad. Number 12, no solid waste material shall be used in site reclamation or shall be deposited, stored, or disposed of at the site before receiving all necessary solid waste permits or approvals as required by town, county, state, federal law, or ordinances. 13, a plan review will be conducted every 3 years to evaluate the effectiveness of reclamation-related activities. and to identify plan modifications that may be warranted to meet preservation standards as established in the Wisconsin Administrative Code and Rule 35. The report non-metallic mining activities must always comply with the most recent Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources applicable standards. These include but are not limited to air emissions, permitting, and stormwater permits. Number 15, obtaining any and all required Wisconsin DOT permits and adhere to Wisconsin DOT regulations. 16, operator will be responsible for compliance with any required federal, state, or local hazmat requirements and any other rules, regulations, laws, and or guidelines. Approval of conditional use permit does not constitute approval of a reclamation plan or any other federal, state, or local requirements. 17, financial assurance home will be established and secured after financial reclamation plan approval and prior to any excavation activity. Number 18, the operator must notify the non-metallic mining department in advance of any changes in ownership, operator lease term, or haul route. Number 19, the operator is responsible to obtain a bulk resource site, review performed by the DNR, and report must be forwarded on to the Buffalo County Zoning Office. Results of such site review may require review of this conditional use permit. Number 20, annual reclamation permit application must be filed and annual fees must be submitted by a given deadline. 21, a county sanitary permit is required when applicable. 22, a zoning permit must be issued for any applicable building development in regards to the issuance of this conditional use permit. Number 23, address number will be applied for and issued for this site. 24, this concerns hauling hours of operation. Summer hours, May 1st to October 31st. Haul hours are from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Winter, November 1st to April 30th. Haul hours are from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Saturday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. However, there will be no hauling of the products on the weekends, April 1st to October 31st. Number 25, operational changes, which include but are not limited to haul route, which will be included within Appendix A, and or processing, will require applicants to pay a conditional use application fee and issues will be drawn up at a regular scheduled board of directors. Number 26, number of trucks is limited to 126 loads out per day, 80,000 pound gross vehicle weight. Number 27 here, this has to do with travel on the local system. The operator is aware that all local highways within Buffalo County are subject to the imposition of special and seasonal weight limitations. The authority to impose a weight limitation is referenced in Chapters 348 and 349 of the Wisconsin statute. The operator must enter into a written agreement with maintaining authority of any town, city, or village in regards to hauling any mine products across the respective local highway system. With regards to the county truck highway system within Buffalo County, it is the intent of the Highway Committee to enter into a maintenance contract for all affected county truck highways within Buffalo County for the hauling of this non-traditional product. Again, the authority for these weight limitations is referenced in Chapter 348 and 349 of Wisconsin statutes. Therefore, the operator must have a contractual agreement with the Buffalo County Highway Department before the mine, fracture, sand product can be hauled on the county truck system. Number 28, total mine site is confined to the described area in Appendix B. That map will be attached and approved. 29, an on-site monitoring well is required to be implemented prior to product removal with gallons set forth in NR 141. The well will be located one-half the distance from the processing facility to the property line. The location of the monitoring well will be downstream groundwater flow of processing site. Testing protocol is in the following conditions. This monitoring well will be tested quarterly and annual reports will be forwarded to Buffalo County Zoning Department. Number 30, baseline and continuous water monitoring is required on residential wells within 1.5 miles of the processing site. With permission, shall be tested pre-construction and on an annual basis from that point forward until the mine ceases operation. Testing will be completed by third-party qualified laboratory. And results will be reported annually to the Buffalo County Zoning Department. Testing will be completed for the following: static water level and pumping water level, bacteria, nitrate, conductivity, total suspended solids, turbidity, pH, which includes lead and copper, nuisance metals, toxic metals, petroleum products, VOCs, volatile organic compounds. Other chemicals that may be tested for would be selected based on site-specific activities, for example, flocculants. Number 31, wash ponds will adhere to NR 213 clay line or acceptable class liner will be required. Wash ponds will be engineered to include the 24 or 25 year storm event for any potential stormwater runoff, as well as any directly contributing rainfall event. Number 32, noise level as measured at the perimeter property lines will be kept at or below 60 decibels. Monitoring requests may be made by the adjacent landowners or the Buffalo County Zoning Department at any time during active mining. If levels exceed 60 decibels, implementation of berms or trees or other suitable mining measures may be required by the Buffalo County Zoning Department to minimize impacts. Exceptions to this condition are truck hauling the product and in and out of the site and blasting activities. Number 33, excavation must commence within 24 months of permit issuance. 34, permit is valid for 12 years from date of permit issuance. 35, non-compliance with any conditions stated will be grounds for revocation of this conditional use permit. And number 36, property value agreements must be in place prior to removal of product to landowners within 1,000 feet of the mined area. Exception here is the party is not interested in a property value agreement. The board have any questions on those at this time?
not at this time.
Tom here just said that he hasn't started monitoring wells.
The neighbor's
well.
At this time, I'll ask the DOT or the DNR to if they want to add anything or have comment on what all the stipulations we had we just got done reading. No? Okay.
Just a minor one. Did you say 25 hour, 25 year?
24 hour, 25 year. I could have said that.
Okay. Now we'll move into the public comments, but the public comments begin with a reading and a summarization of the documents that were submitted prior to the meeting.
At this time, we'll move into the public comments, but first we'll start with reading in the comments that have been made into the records. Yeah, read them into the records.
This will be a summarization in detail, Mike. Written testimony has been received by the building department and forwarded by the board of adjustment members. Facts contained herein have been considered by both board of adjustment members and the zoning office. The first here is from Mike Wenholz with the DNR. His response to the notice. According to the application package, all the proposed actions on this property are legally outside the ordinary high water mark setback for Frost Creek. A soils map layer identifies an area of somewhat poorly drained, loamy soils in the far northwest corner of the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter of Section 23. These soils may indicate the existence of a wetland. The department requests the applicant assure the land in the far northwest corner of the southwest quarter, Section 23 does not include wetlands requiring shoreline wetland going under the Buffalo County zoning ordinance, and or assure that they will not mine them or disturb the wetland if one exists. Go on the state and council telephone number to determine what waterway wetland permits will be required. Next, I received a letter here today from Randy Ball and John Ball. Issues of concern. The application presented for the board review is for a full-scale frac sand mine and wash plant. In our opinion, the county should first and foremost determine the capability of the proposed owner to come competently manage such an operation, proof of adequate financial capital and protection for insured performance, either in the form of insurance bonding coverage or by presenting a bank letter of credit is an essential requirement. If the project were mismatched or if economic conditions demand for this raw material would be adversely affected in the future, neighbors and the county need to be assured that full reclamation per plan would take place, whether profitable or not. The capital backing adequacy should be determined prior to approval of the permit. An underfunded, failed, or abandoned mine would be disastrous to all parties involved. Crabtree had a constant water flow downstream to our property from the forest plant. Discharge from the storm and water recycle pond will be drafted into this creek according to the initial plan. We also understand chemicals may be a component of the washing process. Well contamination to the residential property we own is a concern. The residential property is on Highway 88 within our 160-acre farm. The woodland on our farm has offered decades of quality white-tailed deer hunting, and the farmland has been leased to a neighbor for several years consecutively. Buffalo County land has significant value for both these purposes. It is generally an accepted fact that homes and other property values decrease when a neighbor's mine development occurs. Noise, dust, traffic, and the visual presence of an industrial complex negatively affect rural quality of life and potentially create health concerns for neighbors. This also has a huge impact on future marketability of the property or rentability of this residence. Mr. Brian Iverson of Glacier Sands has been in discussion with me about the issues, and I give him credit for being in communication throughout the process. We spoke by phone yesterday to discuss a possible agreement that would include an offer of future compensation upon sale of the property. Agreeing only to create a difference if less than market value was received at the time. This is an unacceptable proposal. For the very reasons we state in item one, potential failure of the development, bankruptcy, or the other adverse financial factors, a fair offer should include upfront and ongoing financial compensation. This valley has consisted of farm and woodlands for years, and a zoning change of this magnitude should include immediate and ongoing compensation to neighbors at their state effect. Next, Robert Bauer and Diane Ross, February 16th. Once again, these are going to be summarizations here. They're concerned about how little they have told us about the size of the wash plant and any other buildings they intend to put up. Also, what is going to be done with these buildings when they are done mining. Look at the trucking to 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. Also has concerns about noise of the trucks traveling on our highways. Use of loud straight pipes should not be allowed, and jake bridge should only be used in emergency situations. Next is from Thomas Beekman with the DOD. We have been in contact with your county and the region as in general. Striking the balance between protecting the highway system investment of the taxpayers and allowing opportunities for economic benefits. He goes on to further discuss making direct contacts with local partners to get adequate information, which we have done here in the past. Craig Brooks, February 17th. He requests that the conditional use permit associated with the non-metallic frac sand mine be denied. The applicant should be made to resubmit an application and it should cover all the detail needed for them and the zoning staff to make a decision.
Next is from City of Fulton City, Carol Hoffman, page 17. They have concerns regarding the potential number of trucks that may travel through Fulton City as part of their route. We go on to say refrain from permitting any more frac sand mines. This is from Dan and Terry Dowling, dated February 13th. They are expressing their concerns about the use of Highway 88. Of the 22 miles of Highway 88, 73% of the road is no passing. There are little or no shoulders to escape on Highway 88, and another safety issue is the farming equipment on the road. Has concerns about the loss of tourism. And they would just like to say that they want the Highway 88 to be reconsidered. Next one here is from Marianne Dillman, February 16th. We're totally not for any more mines in the county for the public safety coming down the roads. Next is from Elm Grove Farms, February 17th. We would like to urge you to deny the current application for the RNG Willing Acres. We have several concerns about the clarity of this operation and application. Her concerns are, how will it affect the value of surrounding land? How will the washing plant affect the aquifer? Glacial sands was formed in August of 2011. How big of an operation do they plan on having? Traffic concerns on Highway 88, the changes to the current application, and the community interest. Please consider denying this permit. Next, I have a letter here from Shirley Evans. I read through this here last night and I could not find anything that pertains directly to the RMJ line. John and Sandra Fry, 216. They have some reservations, objections regarding the RMJ Willing Acres. The application lacks key information regarding the public safety of truck belt selection, environmental safeguards, and the length of duration. The non-metallic mine will be active to list the fuel. They have concerns with the number of trucks, the condition of State Highway 88, the curves, the angles of the curves, and they go on to state, furthermore, they have questions of the processing facility. We request there must be a detailed environmental impact study performed for not only the mine, but definitely for the wash plant. John and Sandra Fry. Next, Catherine Wood Goodman. Dated February 17th. It is requested that the RNJ Rolling Hills conditional use permit application be tabled for revision. A conditional use permit application for frac sand mining at the location under discussion for a period not to exceed 5 years. A conditional use permit application for a frac sand washing operation. Owner has indicated verbally and in writing that intent is for this operation to continue beyond the frac sand mining phase and to provide frac sand washing to other mines. The submitted conditional use permit application does not contain enough information about the sand wash operation or the Board of Adjustments to make a decision. Next, I have an email here from Eileen Hansen at Crawl. They have a lot of general concerns with the beauty, the historical downtown, Salt City, Alma, and then the overall general truck traffic here within the county. This one here is from Brian Iverson. He had questions in regards to the property value agreements for Glacial Sands Mine. Next one is an email from Tom Hubbard. In the email, it had discussed 126 loads per day, the hours of operation, high cap wells, And then it says here in the vision, wage expense is often paid 0.07 or 0.7 cents per ton for all those over the first 3 years. 7 cents per ton is offered the county portion of the maintenance upgrade to State Highway 88. And with that, there has been an email sent back to Iverson containing a prior property owner's agreement. Next is Sharon Kamelski. She has concerns in regards to the noise pollution, light pollution, the general peace and tranquility of the area, safety to live near the road, water quality, decline in property value, wear and tear on the roads, and who will be affected. We are asking for a denial of any conditional use permit for non-Californians by RJ Rolling Acres. Russ and Sharon Kamelski. Next, I had a general correspondence with Jim King of the DOT in regards to the way chance mining. The DOT has requested that the way of chance perform a traffic impact analysis for the dry plant location, which is separate than what the application is here today. Overall general correspondence with Jim King and the DOT. Next, Alan and Carol Kumi. Very concerned about highway safety on the 88. In addition to that, the highway 88, highway 35 intersection needs to be considered as a potential bottleneck and major area. In conclusion, we are asking for the denial of the conditional use permit for non-tap mine by RMJ Rolling Acres, Ellen Carroll Cooley. Max Gabriel Masters, February 17th. He supports denying the RMJ Rolling Acres conditional use permit application for the following reasons. The application was incomplete. He states his case underneath that. The purpose of the Buffalo County Zoning Ordinance is to promote the public health, safety, and general welfare. He wishes the board to consider them in evaluating any CUP application. His relationship to the public interest, purpose, and the intent of the ordinance is substantial justice to all parties concerned. What are the plans for the site? It goes on to hear about the future scoping of the project. They want to get the permit and then expand the operation well beyond the scope of the permit. There's considerable uncertainty right now about where the haul road ends. And this last summarization here is burden of proof is on the applicant. David Nelson, February 21st. He has stated concerns of Highway 88. He has submitted facts on Highway 88 along with full pictures, bus routes, road conditions, yellow line dash and solids, driveway locations, visibility, and all of his facts are in here and have been listed very, very well. Once again, the 12 pictures from Nelson. Another issue or another email here dated February 21st received from David Nelson. Safety concerns with Highway 88, 12 additional photos. The number of intersections on Highway 88, as I mentioned, points of interest, and then view per second calculations have been completed by David Nelson. Yeah. Next here is from Marcy O'Connor, February 15th. I would like to urge you to deny the application for the RMJ Rolling Acres Mine in Gilmanton. This will be in the middle of the It will be located in the middle of a beautiful agriculture valley. Is it really an appropriate use for the site? Do you need to consider compatibility with existing uses on land adjacent thereto? Wash plant and possible contamination of groundwater. I'll go to the table of the chemicals. There's a potential contaminated groundwater. Problems with 24 hour a day hauling. And then ask the board of adjustment, are they really considering all their decisions? So what's the board of adjustments to consider justice to all parties concerned? That was Marcy O'Connor. I got two emails from Marcy O'Connor, one Peter is being a deal for this. Mike O'Connor. I'm going to read you the first four pages. I will summarize the first four pages. He's got an old lead here. Wants board of adjustment to consider harmony with future development of the district, its relationship to public interest, the purpose and intent of the ordinance, and substantial justice to all parties concerned. My hope is that this application will be denied today, that the applicant for the permit to operate this mine will be encouraged to enter into an open and transparent conversation with other stakeholders, and that the result proposal can be one that everybody can testify in favor of. I stress the due diligence. He would like to see an environmental impact study, an assessment of cultural, scenic, habitat, archaeological and historic resources, an assessment of groundwater, wetland, floodplain, or surface water resources, an assessment of public health concerns, including toxic waste, impact on potable wells and air quality, an assessment of public safety concerns, documentation that sanitation will not generate any local negativity, negative tax, fiscal, and economic, municipal, and residential concerns. An assessment of potential public nuisance concerns, including dust, noise, traffic, congestion, odor, blast, and building, the clay pollution, and erosion. A plan that addresses closure or reclamation concerns. An assessment of workplace and local resident safety, health, and financial concerns. A transportation study both at the mine site and along Post Hall Road. A financial assessment of the applicant. To be addressed. Public safety concerns, public nuisance concerns, culture reclamation concerns, negative tax, fiscal, and economic concerns, public health concerns, groundwater, wetland, floodplain, and surface water concerns, cultural, scenic habitat, archaeological or historic resource concerns, threat or endangered species concerns. Was on here about the regional land use. Much of the concern of all these mines arise from the impact they are felt by property and business owners who live and work in the area where haul roads and rail transfer facilities are either passing through or located in Cooley County. Request denied this application and request the two applications be submitted to replace it. That's from Mike O'Connor. Next from Dennis Perkins. February 16th. He's got concerns about public safety on Highway 88. States that here it's mostly 10-foot lanes. Sharp curves on the road. School bus concerns. Farming concerns in regards to meeting trucks. Tourism in regards to plastic firearms, motorcycles by the hundreds per day. Property values. Property rights. Businesses, he is a business owner, who will be a business owner, I'm not sure what that stands. Air noise and water pollution. As a Buffalo County resident, I'm asking you to deny this permit. That is permits. February 15th, Wayne and Ann Shaw. for which we express our concerns regarding the application for a special use permit for Mountain Town Mining by RJ Rolling Acres. My husband and I currently own and operate an organic farm right on State Road 88. We're very worried about the sand dust coming out of the trucks, contaminating our soil and jeopardizing our organic status and integrity. They're deeply concerned about the increase in truck traffic, our safety as well as others, is our next biggest concern. Noise factor something to consider. Also concerned about the millions of gallons of water used to wash sand. Question the immediate health risk from the silica dust. We're asking for the denial of the special use permit for the non-metallic mining for RJ Rolling Acres. Wade and Shell. And an email here from George Schnabel and Jeff Hall. Basically, it is a generalized email with questions pertaining to rules, policy, and changes therein. Letter here from Ron Schultz, February 17th. Feels very strong that all mines should be only trucking from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Really feels the special highway is much too dangerous for a high volume of 80,000 pound trucks. Does not believe this permit should be granted based upon the many hazards that are present on this 22-mile stretch. Attached, he has lists and facts about 88. Two copies of Ron Schultz. Next is Suzanne Schultz, February 17th. Concerned about our safety and the safety of our neighbors if the RMJ or Rolling Acres permit is granted as proposed. I'm opposed to all frac sand mining trucking on Highway 88. Please take into consideration all the private entrances. We'll be able to monitor the safety of this road. Also opposed to all 24-hour trucking on any road in the county. It is your opinion that the RMJ Rolling Acres permit should be denied at this time. There have been too many changes made to the original request. Large wash plant is a great concern. What roads will be used to haul all the additional sand? This plant will process. Imposing, she is not opposed to all frac sand mining, but it must be done in a responsible manner. Bonnie Zilch, number one worry for me is the trucks as concerned with wildlife, with the total number of trucks with respect to safety. Last here is Terry Zilch. He's asking for speed restrictions be established on Highway 88, not in excess of 30 miles per hour due to safety. That concludes all the testimony.
We'll now begin the verbal portion of the public comments. We have the list here signed in. Chad will call your name. He'll call a couple names. Please be ready to come forward. As the chair had indicated, the comments will be limited to 2 minutes. Please address your comments directly to the Board of Adjustment.
Ronnie Moon.
Passes.
Lisa Wu. Jan Boyne.
My concerns have been addressed.
Okay.
Jesse Wu. Ike Thomas. Brian Iverson.
Passes. I'll defer for this time.
Tom Lord.
I'm already spoken.
Galen Dover.
Passes.
Lynn Dover, and I'm a resident.
Close to the mic, please.
Of Spring Valley, Wisconsin, and so I am a Wisconsin resident and taxpayer. I've been in this industry since 1980, and I'm currently employed by my third state company. And I can understand the concerns of the citizens here because I'm on both sides of the fence as a concerned citizen as well as being an active employee in the industry. I have come from the operations side as well as in the sales, marketing, and transportation side. And I do want to express my concerns that we would be a customer of Glacier Sands in the future, and we would probably be one of their largest customers. And in dealing with Ike Thomas, Ryan Thomas, and Brian Everson, as well as the employers that I've been with in the past, we have great empathy with understanding your concerns, and we from the mining and frac sand industry want to work with the citizens and not against you. And having an industry like this would certainly bring a lot of added revenue to your community, and it's also a trickle-down theory, so it's not only the tax base that would be generating income, as well as taxes for the state and county and community, but also they would be spending their money in your community, which would also help the businesses and residents prosper. So anybody have any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Why don't you folks turn your cell phones off? They're really annoying with them things going on. Okay, next name.
Jeff Regulian.
Tom, what will be next?
I live in S1918, State Highway 88 in Crean. I am not opposed to the trucks going down 88. We also own a farm south of Crean where the road runs between the buildings, and we are not opposed to the trucks running down 88.
Tom Wood. Kevin Cassidy is next.
I also live on Highway 8. I'm not opposed to the trucks going by. I was really close to the road.
This is certainly what democracy looks like. Mr. Chairman, board members, I'd like to say that I believe that sand mining is part of the future of Buffalo County. That said, I'd like to summarize and then comment about Glacier Sands. And you cut this down to 2 minutes. With the resignation of Mr. Dwyer and Mr. Von Eyl, it leaves no oversight of any mine, including this one, by anyone in the zoning department. Let's talk about Glacier Sands. Previous, by their own statements, they have said when in Trefalo County, and when Trefalo County got tough on working hours, and I quote, after 6 months there, we pulled up stakes. In Dunn County, Mr. Iverson said, we already bought the land for the rail spur, and not one permit or application had been taken out at that time. Also, Mr. Iverson said, regarding the wash plant and the conveyor system, no one has done this before. Nothing like this. It's unique. They have no track record. Certainly it's going to be unique. Look at their application. First 80 trucks, now 126. A wash plant that they now say will be servicing other digs. What roads are those trucks coming from? How many trucks? A month ago, they said 10,000 gallons a day. Today, 20,000 gallons. A little while ago, they get into an agreement to purchase land off of Highway 35 across from CFC to put in a rail spur. After they get into the agreement of purchase, they go over to the
Thank you.
Over to the
Thank you.
Time is up, sir.
Concerns? What kind of a good neighbor?
Time is up.
Next, sir.
Jim Webb.
I
passed. Passed. He passed. Passed.
Yeah.
Ryan Thomas. Levine Nelson. David Nelson. Up next, Terry Dolan.
I'm David Nelson. S1225 State Building, Williams House. I have some more pictures here I'd like to give to the committee. I got a copy of the set of pictures and everything that I've given to the committee that I would like to give to the DOT. And then I have a cover page I'd like to read, and I got copies of that for each one of the members of the board, if I could. So.
Next.
Terry Galloway.
Oh, you're not done.
No, I'd like to give these copies.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that.
Evidence. Yeah. These are the same ones as Chad talked about before.
Okay.
There's four loose on here. What have you?
Here's three pictures each for one of you. And then here's a cover sheet for each one of you that I'm going to read now. Okay.
First thing I would like to talk about on sheet 5 is this time with a handout. Part of the meeting, the Board of Adjustments, zoning administrator, county board chairman, and others have previously received this information with pictures on page 5. You know that entering Highway 88. If you and anyone are hit by someone, to my knowledge, if you're referring to me by the Buffalo County State Committee chairperson, you would be at fault and charged with failure to yield. This is an almost left two traffic at intersection 3 at fault. See page 6, which shows the feet per second of a vehicle entering the exit, which would be less than feet per second as it would be from the starting speed. Compared to a vehicle at the intersection, it is more likely to be passing at a higher rate of speed. Also, this reaction time enters into this when you enter such an intersection. There are no speed signs on this highway other than the state speed of 50 miles per hour. There is a 50 mile an hour sign and release state highway train of 121 start on Highway 88. All of the rest of signing on 88 is on full rail flight station dome office and suggested speeds. There is also no 55 mile an hour speed limit sign when leaving Highway 35 on South End as you go to Highway 88 north.
Time's up, then. Time's up, buddy. Time's up, Mr. Nelson.
Right. You gave her time?
She passed.
Terry Dolan, followed by Connor Biedenham, S1346, State Road 88.
It has been acknowledged this morning by the DOT that Highway 88 does not meet the criteria for as far as shoulders and conditions. However, the DOT also has design criteria assumptions that there is only 10% truck traffic on that highway and 80% of it is passing. Over 70% of Highway 80 is a no-passing area. The safety of the highway needs to be a high priority. We all have a right to be safe entering and leaving and using that highway. As far as tourism, there's a concern about the loss of money coming into the county. The county right now gets over $20 million worth of tourism dollars spent. And tourism is going to be lost when you have the high truck traffic and the congestion and all the other issues that are going to come up with all the mining that's going on in this county. How many businesses are going to be closed? How many jobs are going to be lost because the tourists don't show up? This is the county financial issue also. Thank you.
Ask 1346 State Road 88 if you wish to speak, please come up now. Next, Shirley Evans, followed by John Fowler.
Just a minute. Wait a minute, Shirley. Just a minute, Shirley. The gentleman in the back is first.
That's what we called before.
Will you state your name and address, please?
My name is Dan Dowling. We have a house on Highway 88. I'm looking at the Board of Adjustment, and I guess I have some questions for you guys. Through this whole process, has anybody bothered to get a business plan so you know exactly what they plan on doing? Because I'll guarantee you, they're a bunch of used car salesmen. They're going to say one thing and do exactly the opposite. Right now, they're saying they're only going to have eight trucks per hour going on that road, according to my figures. We know they couldn't even survive on that. They're counting on stuff that nobody knows about yet, that they're going to be pulling in here, and it's a bunch of crap. The road is in such bad shape right now, I've actually had some experts take a look at it. That road isn't going to last a month with the amount of traffic on it. One truck, 80,000 pounds, is equivalent to 15,000 cars. So if you have that many trucks, you know how long it's going to last. Rail. I've talked to both railroads, the one that goes into Winona and the one that goes into Arcadia. Winona is absolutely stuffed full right now. They cannot take anymore. It comes back to the business plan. Where are they going to go with this stuff? You know, I feel sorry for the truckers that are here, and they're planning on something, but these guys are selling a bunch of goods. There's no way that it's possible to put as many trucks on the road as they plan on doing. It's just physically impossible. You take 1,000 trucks, that stretches from Gilmington all the way to the intersection where they're going to come out, and that leaves 90 feet between them. And that's what their plan is. And it's just physically impossible to do what they want to do. And that's all I got to say.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Shirley Evans. I just wanted to kind of follow up where I think Mr. Cassidy was going. Mr. Hubbard of Glacier, Sam, did you tell me if I'm wrong? I just want to get this clear in my head. The hub that you apparently are talking about on Highway 35 that connects to 88 right by the school, I'm wondering how much real concern there was given to the fact that the school was there. We had talking at a couple of meetings. I've been coming to meetings on a regular basis.
Hey, ma'am, this is not relative to the subject at hand right now, the railroad hub or anything like that.
Well, it's not subject to this particular mine, I guess. But this, the road, Highway 88, goes right out where the hub is going to be. The hub and the railroad and Glacier Sand are in joint ownership, or they're together on this. And there can be no moratorium, from what I understand from the zoning committee, on something connected with the railroad. Maybe I'm off base on this, but I think there needs to be more studies. Where are we going to get the sand? Are we directing everything down from Major Rock also into this hub? Is everything going to come from Terrell County into this hub? Are the Arcadia sand?
That don't pertain to this subject at all.
Well,
thank you, ma'am.
John Ballerpole, followed by Darcy Ferguson.
John Baller, W1735 Badger Road, just about a mile east of Birmingham. I'd like to thank the Board of Adjustments for your endeavor here in trying to understand all this. And I think you're doing a fine job, and I think the public realizes that also. I have two issues. One is, I don't think there was anything being addressed about using resin on the sand after it's being washed, or any type of a chemical before it's being hauled out. And if that's so, I think you need to take a look at that. I wish you would take a look at that and to see if any chemicals would be left on that site. Number two, I think there really needs to be a consideration for restricting truck hauling during school hours. I read an application from another county, and it was in all the policies and procedures for the Board of Adjustments, and they had restricted the hours for trucking during school hours. I think that's a very important issue for our community. Thank you.
My name is Darcy Sutterson. I live on 121.
And when this first came about, I wasn't for it or against it. So my husband and I went for a ride 2 weeks ago. We went over to Blair and to Taylor. And I got to say, I was totally amazed at what they've done. We talked to a lady walking down the road that was directly adjacent from mine, Blair. She was against it to begin with. Since they moved in, she has no problems with it. She said they have done all positives for the community.
This don't obtain to this mind what we're talking about today at all. What's going on in Trumbull County or Blair or anything else?
What I'm trying to say is, they've done new positives to your community, to your county. They have done, they will be bringing money, revenues to our local communities, to the county in general. The mines over there have given back to the schools, which I hope this mine will do to our schools. And as far as the traffic goes, I know this is different industries as far as the sand. I live on 121, and I have golden pump trucks going by my house all the time. I have corn trucks going by my house all the time. I don't have an issue with it. It's progress. We all have to know how to drive. We all have to be cautious. And I would hope that the sand trucks are cautious. And that's what I've said.
Greg Lorenz, followed by Diane Ross.
I think she said she passed. Yeah.
Greg Lorenz, followed by. Michelle Falkowski.
Greg Lorenz, 111 Vista Drive, Elmo, Wisconsin. And I have not heard anything about a moratorium, why we can't slow things up, not pass it or decline it, but have more study on it.
That's not brought up to this mind.
Thank you.
Not brought up to this mind.
What do you think? I just want to say, too, that I lived on a highway for quite a few years, and I can't see a problem with the sand trucks going by when you compare it to the Ashley trucks or the Golden Foam trucks or any other sand that goes along any highway.
Gene Gadney. All by Dave Hesh.
It's Jamie Gardner. S-1142 State Highway 37. I have a question for the owner. He said he's a really good neighbor, and I hope he sticks to that. But when you say $40 million in the next 2 years in Buffalo County, I don't know where he's going to spend that, because if you buy equipment and everything else, it's going to have to come out of the county. It won't be in Buffalo County. The cost of operation on Highway 88, I hope you will share those costs with other sand mine owners. And I ask the committee to consider not having a zoning administrator to wait on these issues and deny this permit or table it, whichever you prefer. The next item is a health issue. No one has brought up health issues, and I think we need to look at that very, very close. And I don't know where you get the information, but please consider all the ramifications. Thank you, and I do appreciate what you're doing.
I've got a cold, so please bear with me. My name is Dave Hesh. I'm partner with Jeff Regalina, Regalina Hesh Construction. I don't have my bullseye on today, but most people in the last year, I've been watching what we've been doing. We're running the sand mines to them in Arcadia. What I want to congratulate the board for, they came out and watched our operation. They watched us blast. They watched the operation run. They had concerns about the water, the dust, the noise. They were all out there. They understand that the concerns are unfounded. As far as the truck traffic, we run 120 loads a day through Arcadia. Through Arcadia, there's 6,600 vehicles per day. 8,800 vehicles going from Arcadia to Centerville. We go right past the school zone, right past our elementary. We haven't had one issue. We come back through Dodge, through Buffalo County Road. Empty trucks come back through there. One of the requirements that I have in my drivers is they represent this industry. If any one of them gets a citation, first time they get a citation, they get 2 weeks off. The second time, they're fired. We cover our trucks. We were one of the first ones to do that. It wasn't demanded by Trumbull County, but that's just good business. That's just being a good neighbor. As far as these concerns about traffic, you won't even know they're there. We're going to make traffic. And all the people that say that need to come to town and see what's going on. We've been doing it for a year. We don't see any complaints. Everything is fine. So a lot of the stuff that they're concerned about is all bogus. Thank you.
Gene Joel, followed by Carol and Chris.
Carol and Chris was right home, but I'll pick her off.
Yeah, my name is Gene Schultz. I'm right in regards to the work, to the wash plant and the mining operation that RMJ is proposing to start on a property located next to my property. First of all, I think it should be two different permits, one for the mining operation, one for the wash plant. I have some concerns about the long-term effects this mining operation have on my on the environment. This type of mining is relatively new, and I believe that it needs to be investigated further into the effects of mining trash dam before granting a permit. Mining trash dam can affect air quality, groundwater, and not to mention the surrounding wildlife. The possibility of depleting the water level on the mine site would affect our drinks flowing in my woods, more or less polluting the water source, so it would be unsafe to use. Also, the noise pollution that I would have to listen to when I'm up to my woods for a quiet weekend would make my property no longer a quiet retreat. In addition, I am concerned about air quality, the dust in the air from the mining and washing of the sand would be ingested by me, my grandchildren, nieces and nephews. We do not know what the long-term consequences and health concerns this may cause. Another concern is the increase in the amount of traffic on the road. This would cause wear and tear on the roads and cause problems for our area farmers. It is up to these days of the land I own, maybe in the first zone in my site.
Time is up, sir.
Would be
your time is up, sir.
Thank you.
Your time is good.
First, Pat. Oh, my dear, my. Pastor Dan Weiss, the Carol Cooley.
Fast.
I'm Brother Pettick. I live in Elmo, Wisconsin, 811 South Main Street, for your information. I formerly lived in Maiden Rock, next door to a sand mine. We did not have problems with the folks that came there, no. They were doing a heck of a job, I'll tell you that. But these other issues regarding rope, going to have to be addressed in a big way. You know about that. And traffic through town is going to be very difficult. And if you don't get something done right with 88 and that situation around down there that will cost you a couple million bucks to get that railroad in there and so forth, but somebody has to pay for it. It won't get done. It's got to be done right. Thank you very much.
Dan Moyes, Alan Review.
Hi, I'm Carol from Eaton Ring. Here to ask the Board of Adjustment to deny a conditional use permit for Nunda's Alex Lane by RMG Rolling Acres. A conditional use permit should not be granted without first understanding the full scope of the minor industry expansion in the future. When making decisions of appropriate land use, there is responsibility to answer questions of use's impact on the greater population. I believe that large volumes, cinder hauling, truck traffic on the Highway 88 and 35 will be catastrophic for area residences, the CFC public schools, farming operations, and safety and welfare of the public traveling retirees. On the way over here, I couldn't help but see how poorly the roads are all the way. They're dangerous, the corners, and I know that the DOT mentioned fixing the corners, but I can't imagine because every time I travel 88, I'm on red alert the way it is. I've been passed on the yellow line, double yellow line, by trucks and tailgating and different things, post-accidents, and there have been several accidents on 88 just right in our area, which is the two rooms I mentioned. So I guess that it's the right of people to use Highway 88 because that's the public's right, but also you have the right to be safe, and I'm just hoping that the right decisions are made and that a one-year moratorium would be held. Thank you for consideration.
Gary Lomaski.
My name is Alan Kuby. I live on S2334 State Highway 88. I wish to begin by publicly applauding the Buffalo County Zoning Committee for scheduling a public hearing to consider an amendment to the zoning ordinance for a moratorium on silica sand mining and related permits. Common sense dictates that the Board of Adjustment should deny a conditional use permit for RJ Rolling Acres. With the huge public opposition, loss of zoning staff, and unwillingness of the frac sand industry to be open as to its plans now and for the future, the Board of Adjustment would be well advised to stop being a lightning rod for the interests of the very few with only a financial interest in this monumental issue. Frac sand mining basically is going to benefit a very few. Breaking news yesterday was that Wisconsin State Senate, which is controlled by the pro-business political party, has put a hold on the proposed new iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin for environmental reasons. A good decision. Wisconsin case law, State of Wisconsin versus Harford. It is firmly established in this county that the rights preserved country preserved in the individual by these constitutional provisions providing that the taking of property without just compensation are held in subordination to the rights of society. Although one owns property, he may not do with it as he pleases any more than he may act in accordance with his personal desires. And his interest of society justifies or stand upon individual contact, so also does it justify or stand upon the use of which property may be divorced. It was not intended by these constitutional provisions to so far protect the individual in the use of his property as in to enable him to use it to the detriment of society. By thus protecting individual rights, society did not part with the power to protect itself or to promote the general well-being. Where the interest of the individual conflicts with the interest of society, such individual interest is subordinated to the general welfare.
Thank you, Al. Time is up. Radio announcement followed by Richard Pierce.
Hi. This is the standard public hearing. The people who either are directly employed or are somehow making money from the industry are in favor of it, and that's understandable. Jobs are important. The people who don't see a direct benefit and see the problems with property values are not in favor of it. The Board of Adjustment really would have been well advised to have an economic assessment conducted. Just saying that there will be 30 or 40 jobs does not measure the other impacts. Many of us spend our money outside of the county, where you buy your food, your TVs. The multiplier effect is the problem in Buffalo County. The biggest problem, though, is that it would have been nice if this had been our first public hearing. The state Supreme Court, in the case of Weber versus the town of Saukville, Initially, we conclude that unless a zoning ordinance provides the contrary and ours does not, a court should measure the sufficiency of a conditional use application at the time that notice of final public hearing is first given. The public hearing was on February 2nd. It was noticed on January, I believe, 16th. Such a rule ensures that interested individuals will have a meaningful opportunity to express informed opinions at the public hearing. Indeed, a contrary rule would create a damaging incentive for conditional use permit seekers to withhold all controversial information from its application until during or after the public hearing, and so on and so forth. Requiring such a perverse incentive would be diminished only slightly by requiring a complete application at the time of the public hearing. Even our ablest citizens would be hard-pressed to digest and discuss in a single public hearing all of the debatable proposals in a given conditional use application. And that's what's happened today. This should be our first hearing. But for whatever reason, I feel sorry for the applicants. But they were not required to have all this information before we even had the first public hearing. So we will, if you do approve this, then you'll have to file a lawsuit.
Thank you. Time is up.
Richard Pierce, followed by Donald Sturgill, Atlanta, to the Arm of Fulton City.
Rumble.
Richard Pierce. That's 199 County Road B on the campus. Most of my issues have already been raised by other people here today. So I guess I'm left with the problem of the fracturing of this entire process. It is not suitable to address the environmental issues of connected actions in isolation of those other actions. And so I guess my message is to urge the board not to constrain your thinking too narrowly. You must consider the cumulative impacts of this action together with connected and reasonably foreseeable future conditions and actions in making your decision on this project. Thank you.
I'm Don Ruffo. I'd like to thank the board for what they're going through. It's a job that nobody really wants. People are quitting. It's a tough job. They're held with all this responsibility, and we as people can criticize or not criticize or do whatever we want to do. But the fact remains, not many people have talked about economy. The economy as it is today. Today, we can see right in here, there's not enough jobs. I mean, there's too many people here to do this kind of thing. Thank you.
Dan Smith has called my door now.
I'm going to talk to him without the goal yet. We're halfway.
Yes, he's up. I'm sorry.
My first question is, I mailed all four of you a letter. Did anyone of you four receive it 2 weeks ago?
I received it.
Okay, because I didn't hear any of the comments when you were reading, going through the comments, and so I just wanted to make sure it was read. I really think the board needs to look at strict Monday through Friday time period, 8 to 5. Number one tourism business in Buffalo County. My number one business is tourism. I really think you will lose a lot of money. You will lose a lot of motorcycle clubs. You will lose Jeep clubs, Corvette clubs, tractor clubs. They're looking at doing an Austin Healey race. There is tons of other businesses besides just mining. I realize the mine's coming. I think you have a place for it. But you really need to look at a time period so everybody can live together. That's all I have to say.
Hi. One concern I have not heard addressed, which is certainly meaningful to me as a physician, what's going to happen when an ambulance comes down Highway 88? how are they going to get around those trucks? You know, you're going to have a truck, if you consider a 10-hour day, they're going to meet numerous sand trucks on their run down 88. We have a real concern there's no shoulder where the truck's going to pull across. You know, I think that has to be taken into consideration. I'd like to echo the comment from before of, since we don't, aren't going to have much of a zoning office for a while, who is going to monitor compliance? And I think that not having anybody to monitor compliance is justification enough to not issue the permit. I think that in terms of looking at things singly, you sort of can't do that, because if you look at the trucks coming from this mine down 88, and then you look at the Club Guard mine, which is coming a different direction, by the time that they get to where I live in Fountain City, the truck numbers are cumulative, not separate. And so one mine does influence the next. And the other thing is, I really question whether there has been a conflict of interest within this county. Paul is not choosing to tell us whom he is going to be employed by, and that is certainly his right, but it does lead me to wonder whether there is some sort of conflict of interest, and at what time he was it began negotiations with a mining company.
Jeff Paul from the city of Wisconsin. I appreciate board members asking questions. It's the first time I've heard it, and I think it's an attempt on you folks to be responsible and understand the issues. Some issues and some questions which I'd like you to ask. In the conditions, it's stated that after 3 years, the reclamation will be examined. Okay, you need to see what they're doing for reclamation. But it's stated the permit will be issued for 12 years. Look at all the questions people have raised. Why, in your right mind, would you issue the permit for 12 years? Give yourself 12 years before you review it. Make that less than 12 years. Okay? Other questions for you to ask the people. I heard on a radio program that the state of Wisconsin requires trucks, sand trucks, to be covered when they're on the road. Is that or is that not a law? Perhaps the person from DOT could answer that, but you have to ask him. About air monitoring, you can ask Tom about air monitoring. Particles that are of health concern are the ones that get smaller and smaller and smaller. The DNR monitors for PM10. It's the smaller particles that are of health effect. Do they ask them? Is monitoring for PM10 sufficient to monitor for the health effect particles? Is on-site monitoring sufficient for understanding off-site dust? Those are two major questions that I think you need to ask and try and get answers. My understanding is that monitoring for, you can meet the EPA standards for PM10 and not meet the EPA standards for PM2.5. Ask him whether that is or is not the case. And if it is the case, people who are concerned about the smaller particles, how do you address those?
Time is up, Jim.
John, RIECDHERS. This person from Olean, all of a sudden their initials are DPB. Yes. Carl Hoffman, followed by Susan Sir.
I am especially.
He passed.
Susan Sir, followed by Craig Brooks.
My name is Susan Sur. I live at L2622 State Road 88. We're a dairy farmer, and we are a bakery owner. We have an on-site bakery. I'm very concerned. We have a blind driveway. Cars come up too fast. You cannot see what's going on. We have three field roads. Two are totally blind. We have one that's blind on one side. We move heavy equipment. We rent land. We move north and south. And one of the driveways that we enter on the south end, we have to crawl into another lane in order to make the curve to get in.
So I am extremely concerned about the number of trucks that are coming our way. Another thing with the trucking is I wish we had the luxury that Greg Lane and Hesh has of driving on a straight road, because they have shoulders and they are straight. We do not have that luxury. I want the guarantee of safety for my clients, my customers, my dairy hauler, my bulk hauler. I want to make sure everybody that comes out of my area is safe, because I am responsible, and that should make you responsible. The wash plant, the 1 to 26 trucks daily, is that just the mine, or is that the wash plant too? Stockpiles, will they be covered? Or will they be wet down after coming out of the wet plant? That doesn't make a lot of sense. But if it's dry out and the wind's blowing and we have particulates into the air, I'm concerned about that. I'm also all for a farmer making money off a resource. I believe that a farmer should be able to mine whatever he wants. But I believe in a mom-and-pop industry, and I believe in an industrial-sized industry. And there should be a difference between the two, and I urge you to look at that. One guy always retarded. Oh, my neighbor across the street, his driveway is blind, totally blind. You can show it. Thank you.
For that roll call, I'll call by Dennis Ward.
I'm Craig Brooks, Buffalo City. I heard my name right.
Yep.
I'm asking that you deny this request for a conditional use permit and require that they resubmit two applications, one for a mine and one for a wash plant. I believe that the Board of Adjustments practices over the years have been well suited for the purposes that they usually seek, and mine are not like that at all. I don't even understand why members of the BOA have to visit a farmland where a mine might be, as compared to going and looking at property where a dog kennel or a garage might go relative to the neighbors. There are too many last-minute changes, too many changes allowed in the applications. I think a new application is needed, and I think if any changes are submitted by the applicant, the application should be denied and require that they reapply and start over. So my main thing is that I appreciate the increase in public input. There needs to be more of that. More opportunity for the public to know what's going on. I think in the last couple of months you found out that the public does not know what's going on, and now that they do, they care. And again, please deny this and require two applications and do not and stop allowing changes after the application is submitted up to the last minute. I've seen so many changes in the original application. It doesn't reflect what's really going to happen. Thank you.
Well, that's Rosenthal. Bill Powers.
Many roads are with anyone. I'd just like to ask for an adjustment about reclamation. I understood from my reading that the reclamation permit was supposed to be applied for before all this other stuff. Am I wrong about that? I'm Pasadena. So I haven't heard anything at all about reclamation. Nobody seems to care about it, but if we're concerned about the beauty of the area and the, you know, why aren't we concerned about how it's going to look when it's done? And I understood that they're supposed to have money in escrow to do that. And I haven't heard anything about that at all either. So I know I'm concerned about the roads like everybody else, but I'm also concerned about what the place is going to look like when it's all done. And everybody says, oh, you know, we need this business, we need this, we need that, but we also need it to look beautiful here. That's one of my main concerns. I know people think money is the only important thing. It's not.
Bill
Howard,
looks like we've got quite a crowd here. I want to thank everybody. I'm a resident of the township of Dover and Lookout and State Highway 121. I want to thank the board. I want to thank Chad for being assistance. As far as Highway 88 mining goes there, it looks troubled, but I think we should all get together to try to take a wave, because our county's broke. Means both. And public record on the tax information
I pay a lot. It sucks. Want to see some money brought into this county, and I think we should work together to get a good plan to go down the road with frac sand money. That's all I have to say.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gary Pleasantary. I'm from Eagle River, and I own the property that is the east boundary for RMJ Rolling Acres. So I'm kind of directly connected to what's going on. It's a very emotional issue, and I can feel it in the room when I stand here. I know back here, I'm kind of shaking a bit, just trying to just make a decision myself as to what I'm going to do. Am I going to be a part of this? Am I not going to be a part of this? But the one thing I guess I've learned over just time listening to all this is I feel like I need to trust that the board and that the DNR and the DOT are doing their jobs. And I think it'd be presumptive on my part to assume that I know more about that than they do. And as a result, I support what these people are trying to accomplish here. I do think it's going to bring a lot of opportunities to the area. And like I said, I feel very emotional about this myself. I have no idea what I personally am going to do. But that's what I had to say today. Thank you.
He's coming. Oh, yeah, he's coming. Set the timer. He's the last one. Is he the last one?
Good morning, Stephen Dorr over at Dodd, Wisconsin. Wanted to go ahead and thank the Board of Adjustments and Chad for having the DNR and the DOT here today to help to hopefully put to rest a lot of the concerns that are legitimate, but yet they're actually addressed by our government and have been for many years. I'd also like to just point out real quick, someone earlier mentioned to the Board of Adjustments via testimony that there was a zoning change, and that's not accurate. So it's my intent as a conditional use permit that's permissible, provided it's granted within the existing zoning. So we're still getting some testimony that has false data built into it. Again, the health issues that were testified about, nothing known to addressing them. Again, Chris said that was false. The DNR are here and they identified it. I haven't worked in the industry. I'm in the process of trying to work in the industry, I should say. And it's a large process. I mean, I just finally got the response back from an application with the DNR for air monitoring, which required a fugitive dust plan, a site plan, and responsible parties, among other data, to acquire. And it still has a whole bunch of material that's required before it can actually be official to work in a site. That's just one of many things that are required, like the DNR mentioned earlier. Not only air monitoring, but also stormwater pollution prevention plan, and many of the things that go with that. So I think we can be, you know, put some of those legitimate concerns to rest in that we do have regulatory departments that are regulating those items, and people can't even go to work until they spend all the money and put forth all the data to those regulatory outfits. Also, this is a product that's extremely needed here in the United States of America for us to continue enjoying the ability to have petroleum products, whether they be propane, natural gas, gasoline, etc., etc., and plastics for vehicles.
Time is up, Steve.
I thank you very much.
Well, that concludes the comments from the floor. Next thing, we'll recess. We'll go out there, visit the site. It'll probably take us 15 minutes, 20 minutes, however long it takes to get out back. And we'll come back and we'll make a decision.
Thank you.
Need them.
I agree with that. We would have a reasonable hearing to let you know. It's not on the agenda.
We need to make a motion to recess.
So we need a motion to recess.
I'll make a motion to recess.
A second. Motion made to recess. All in favor? Aye.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you. I'm going to go back. Thank you. I'm going to go to the next one.